Chapter 3, From Brain to Mind, Who's Running Our Belief Factory? In the previous chapters, we've seen how the principles of a modern computer can help us understand consciousness. New studies show that the same analogy can also go a long way in demystifying the relationship between our brain and our mind. In his groundbreaking book, Consciousness Explained, Daniel Dennett, the director of the Center for Cognitive Studies at Tufts University, says that we can actually think of our brain as a computer of sorts, and that doing so gives us a powerful metaphor to understand how we use information. Dennett's comparisons give us just what we need to navigate what he calls the terra incognita, or the unknown land, between what science tells us about our brains and what we experience through our brains. Conscious and subconscious mind, the pilot and the autopilot. Although the beliefs themselves are formed in our hearts, the thoughts that they come from begin in our mind. While we obviously have one brain, we know that different parts of the brain work in different ways. The most commonly recognized distinction in the way the brain works is our experience of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. We've long known that both the conscious mind and subconscious mind play a role in making us who we are. Now, new discoveries show that they're also largely responsible for making reality what it is. To understand just how these connections between life and memory are made and how we can change them, we need to understand the difference between our conscious and our subconscious minds and how they work. The conscious mind is the brain function that we generally feel most connected with because it's the one we're most aware of. It's the place where we create the image of ourselves that we see from the inside looking out, as well as the image of ourselves that we want other people to see from the outside looking in. Through our conscious minds, we take in information about our day-to-day world, the people around us, the time of day, where we're going, and how we'll get there. Our conscious minds analyze and process all that information and then make the plans of what we'll do once we get to where we're headed. The experience of standing on the street corner of a busy intersection is a beautiful example of how the conscious mind works and how easy it is for the subconscious mind to take over. Consciously, we know that it's best for us to wait for the light on the other side of the street to signal when it's safe to cross. We also know that there are people who won't wait for the signal and will chance the traffic before the light says that it's okay to walk, even at the risk of their own lives. While we might see others doing so, if we choose to wait for the go signal, it's our conscious mind that has taken all the factors into account and made that choice. If, however, the crowd of people waiting on the corner with us collectively darts across the street because there's a break in the traffic, and we simply go with the flow, and follow them while we're talking to a friend on our cell phone, for example, then something else has happened. Because our attention was focused on the call, we're not focused on the traffic light. We followed others like the proverbial sheep because our subconscious mind made that choice, and the subconscious doesn't think about things. It simply reacts. From this brief example, it's obvious that the subconscious mind plays a very different role than our conscious mind. For one thing, we're less aware of it. In fact, unless we're trained to recognize its language and the way it works, we may be completely oblivious to the fact that it's there at all. Using our computer analogy, we can think of the subconscious mind as the hard drive in the brain, doing what hard drives do. It stores information, a lot of information. In fact, your subconscious mind has a record of everything that you have ever experienced during your entire lifetime. Not only does your subconscious mind hold a record of the events themselves, it also holds a cross-reference record of how you felt and what you believed about each event while it was occurring. That's right. Every thought, every emotion, all of the accolades and encouragement you've ever received, as well as all of the harsh words, criticism and betrayal is stored right there on the hard drive of your subconscious mind. And it's those experiences that unexpectedly surface in our lives, seemingly at the times when we would least like for them to be there. Question: when does the subconscious mind rest? Answer: never. Okay, you may be saying to yourself, conscious beliefs or subconscious beliefs? Let's say that all the events of my life really are stored somewhere. Why do I care? My past experiences are past, right? Are they even important to me now? Well, the answer is yes, you bet they are. And Belief Code 16 gives us the reason why, stating the subconscious mind is larger and faster than the conscious mind and can account for as much as 90% of our activity each day. So up to 90% of the way we respond to each day is based in our subconscious mind, the same place where many of our past memories and our perception of those memories reside. Because this includes the functions that keep us alive each day, for the most part, our subconscious responses are a good thing. While both the conscious and subconscious mind take in tremendous amounts of information, it's the difference in the way they process that information that gives belief a central role in our lives. According to some estimates, the difference in processing speed between our conscious and subconscious mind is on the order of many magnitudes. Cell biologist Dr. Bruce Lipton, for example, describes the conscious mind as operating with a processing power of a computer at about 40 bits of information per second, while the subconscious mind processes information at about 20 million bits per second. In other words, the subconscious mind is 500,000 times faster at what it does than the conscious mind. It may be precisely because of this difference that psychologist William James said that the power to move the world is in the subconscious mind. It's fast, and it works instinctively without our thoughts and considerations getting in the way to slow it down. The ability to react rapidly and instinctively can be a good thing when we must make quick decisions. We see a big truck heading directly toward us, for example, and it's a really big truck moving really fast. Our subconscious mind reacts with everything it needs to get us out of the way. It doesn't wait while our conscious mind analyzes the situation with questions like, yes, it's a big truck, but what kind of a truck? Or just how fast is that really big truck coming toward me? If we waited for the slower conscious mind to complete this kind of analysis, it might be too late to act. The point is that in situations that require a split-second decision, sometimes the details just aren't important. And that's where our subconscious mind does what it was built to do so very well. It acts 500,000 times faster than the thinking mind. At other times, however, we pay the price for dealing with life from such a quick and reactive place, especially when our reactions are based in the beliefs of other people that we subconsciously learn to mimic early in life. Where do subconscious beliefs come from? Studies have shown that until we're about 7 years old, our brain is in what is called a hypnagogic or dreamlike state, where our mind is absorbing everything that it can about our world. During this time, we're like little sponges spending our days soaking up information about the world around us with no filters to tell us what's appropriate and what's not, what's right, what's wrong. To us, it's all just information, and we record and store every bit of it. This includes the things that we later recognize as the good, the bad, and the ugly, the judgments, the bias, the likes, and the dislikes, and the behavior patterns of those around us, especially those of our primary caretakers. It may be precisely because of this impressionable state of mind that the founder of the Jesuit order stated, "Give me a child until he is seven, and I will give you the man." In terms that are non-scientific by today's standards, he apparently knew the power of the subconscious mind and that if he could instill the religious values of the Jesuits into the minds of young males, those values would be the basis of the beliefs they would have for the rest of their lives as adults. No doubt, William James also had this very principle in mind when he said, "Could the young but realize how soon they will become mere walking bundles of habits, they would give more heed to their conduct while in the plastic state." Whether we're in a Jesuit school or our family homes, we're immersed in the experiences of others at early ages when we simply download them without any filtering and discernment for what we're taking in. So it's not surprising that the beliefs of others often become the foundation of what we hold true about the world and ourselves. In the very place of our mind that we formulate our beliefs, we have a record of every viewpoint that we were ever exposed to early in life. From the time that we were told we could be anything we set our minds to all of the times we were told that we'll never amount to anything. Belief Code 17 describes why the viewpoints of others become embedded as our beliefs. It simply states that many of our most deeply held beliefs are subconscious and begin when our brain state allows us to absorb the ideas of others before the age of 7. Memory is a curious thing. Sometimes the details of the most important moments of life fade within days, while the mundane moments become the memories that stay with us the longest. I remember sitting on the shore of a river with my mother one day. It was autumn. The air was crisp, and I was bundled in layers of blankets to stay warm. Together, we were watching groups of men rowing long, narrow boats quickly through the water. I remember the rhythm. It was perfect. The motion was smooth, and it seemed as if there was not a ripple in the water as the boats shot past us. As I shared these memories of my early childhood with my mother, she looked at me in disbelief. "You couldn't possibly remember those days," she said. "It was after your father had come home from the Korean War, and we'd moved to Providence, Rhode Island, where he was enrolled in Brown University. I would take you down to the river to watch the university crew team practice in the fall, but you couldn't possibly remember that time because you were only a year and a half old." Well, memory is a curious thing, because while we may consciously remember little snippets of life, like boats on a river, what we often don't consciously remember is the way those around us responded to what was happening in our lives at that time. Because we were present, however, we do remember, as those subconscious experiences become the blueprint for the way that we deal with relationships and life.